So who talks first? You talk first? I talk first?
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
That's it, man. Game over, man. Game over.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hey, come here. I got something good for you. Come on.
Welcome to your bi-weekly dose of lightsabers, infinity stones, and all things plastic. I'm Dave. This is episode 62 of the Toy Isle podcast. And as always, the better looking of the two hosts, Kevin, what's up, man? What's up, brother?
I always feel that is extremely debatable because beauty is in the eye of the beholder, Dave. You know that. Just as there's wonderful figures out there that you like, there's some that I don't like. And just because you think I'm the prettier of the two, I will always take that with me. But yes, it is good to be back here on episode 62. 62 damn episodes that you and I have done, Dave. But you know, I'm willing to say there is also, we need at least 62 reviews out there, and we don't have that many as right now. And so we need, if you are listening to this, to go ahead and make sure to follow all our social accounts and make sure, if you've not done so, leave us a review. Let us know which of the two is the most attractive. We're fine with that. If that's what it comes down to, if we don't have any good content to actually put out there and you say, you know what, I can at least objectively say, all right, you know what, I kind of like Dave's beard a little better than Kevin's this week.
Oh my God.
Just let us know what it is, but we would love to interact with you guys on that. But yeah, it's exciting to be back here on episode 62 of the Toy Isle podcast.
Jay Rue at the Geek Out Show is gonna absolutely destroy us on this intro.
And I'm fine with that, man. I'm fine because engagement is engagement. It's fine.
Yeah, dude, our episode 62. I mean, we've been looking forward to doing this episode for a very long time. This is gonna be very heavy Ghostbusters. So let's just get it out of the way. If you haven't seen Ghostbusters, don't listen to this. This is your warning. This is the spoiler warning. We are definitely going to get into spoilers. You know, obviously we will be covering some toys as well, but you know, you and I have just been looking forward to this for what, 30 something odd years. You know, we got to show it some love. I mean, we'll do the same thing, obviously, you know, when you know, Book of Boba Fett drops and stuff like that, and other kind of major franchises that we both love and adore. And yeah, I'm just stoked that it's out. I can't wait to see it again. I'm off for all the next week, so I'm planning on doing some. And the kids are in school, and Lindsay's working, so I'm planning, and I have no plan. So I'm planning on doing like some early matinees, like when the theater's empty, and seeing it a few more times. I've only seen it the one time.
Well, it's funny you say that because I was able to take advantage of a matinee showing. I had some meetings cancel. I guess it was that Thursday or Friday right after, because I went to the Wednesday showing. And we'll talk about that in a second. I went to the Wednesday night showing, and then Thursday and Friday I had some evening afternoon meetings canceled. I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to walk my ass over to the theater. And yeah, man, I got me some matinee, and it was still had a good number of people in there for the matinee, but I was able to grab my M&M ice cream cookie, went ahead and hit that recliner seat. And yeah, I was able to watch it for a second time. But if I can rewind back to the first time, let's get back to the first viewing, because sure. Dave, you and I were talking about this, that this is something that you and I've both been looking forward to, and you yourself, and I'm the junkie, you know, I go through and I need to see all the spoilers. I need to do everything. But you were the person that said, you know what, I want to go in clean. I need to have my virgin ears, virgin eyes, all that stuff. I do not want to be sullied when I walk into this theater, and I commend you for that. And I'm looking forward to hearing about what your reactions were. But when I went in on that Wednesday, you know, I was just so damn hype.
Birthday weekend.
It was my official birthday. That was
Wednesday was the birthday. Yeah,
it was my 35th birthday on that day. And so one of the things that we did, Amy and my wife, she's like, what do you want? I was like, the only thing I want is I want you to go see Ghostbusters with me. And at that time, I thought it was going to have to maybe be like that weekend, because I couldn't find any place that was showing the Wednesday night showing. And then I finally, day of, I was able to find the IMAX showing at Opry Mills, is what they have it here. And I said, damn it, that's what we're doing. That's what I want for my birthday. We're going to go to see Ghostbusters in the IMAX. That's what I want.
IMAX. Yeah, yes, man. Sir.
And so we decided that we wanted to do one of the drink around the malls type of thing beforehand. And so we started our little tour of the factories around 5 a.m. or not 5 a.m. That would have been terrible. Around 5 p.m. And so around about an hour and a half, good 90 minutes of drinking and pre-gaming, you know, before we got in there, had a little bit of Mexican to walk myself into it. But man, when I got in there and I saw the Sony logo come on, and it just kind of popped. And
it's like the Lucasfilm almost, you know,
it was off to the races. And I mean, I'll let you kind of lead on this, man, because I know that you kind of went, I knew kind of what to expect a little bit. And I was, you know, reading the spoilers, reading the synopsises, but you went in completely clean. And so I remember I said, Dave, when are you going? When are you going to text me? He's like, I'm going Tuesday or whenever that was. Cause I know you had your anniversary, which is awesome. And so you said, I'm going to go. I'm so hyped. I'm so nervous, man. And then you finally went through. And then afterwards, you know, 3 hours later, so you text me and you're like, everything I wanted. So can you explain and expound on that a little bit, man?
Yeah. You know, I really did try to, you know, avoid as much, you know, digging in, you know, the movie. I mean, I knew a lot of stuff. I mean, I knew the filming of it. A lot of it was done in Canada and in Alberta, you know, kind of a part of Alberta that I'm from, and like Drumheller, I think that was the actual town that was Somerville. And so a lot of like the farm scenes and stuff like that, it just is like, okay, yeah, this is Alberta, like I got that. So I knew like some little, you know, plots and stuff like that. But and then I did get spoiled a little bit for some reason. I was trying to think of Carrie Coon's name. I was like, I just had a brain fart.
In the movie?
No, like her, the actress.
Oh, okay.
Like actual Carrie. And I was trying to think of her name. I was like, what's her name? So I, total rookie move. I could have gone on Fargo. I could have gone on whatever the other, you know, shows that she's done. This is kind of like what I do for IMDb. I go to IMDb if I need to like think of an actor's name. I think of the movie and then I go there and I'm like, oh, there it is. So I go on IMDb of Ghostbusters, kicking myself for even saying this. And there I see Olivia Wilde, Gozer.
Right. And that's one of the ones I wanted to talk with you about.
And I was like, this is like a fucking 2 days before I went to see it. So I literally like waited it out, and then a fucking IMDb ruined it. But you know, the writing was on the wall of Gozer already.
Back, right?
So yeah, so that wasn't okay. That big of a deal. But yeah, an initial, you know, you asked me, and what's my initial thoughts? I mean, I loved it very much. I know Force Awakens vibes is getting thrown around as a comparison, and I felt similar vibes, like, and I'm totally fine with that. Like, yeah, there's going to be a lot of people that are saying, you know, oh, there's too much fan service or whatnot. I think they rode that line perfectly. They introduced, you know, the new generation, and but still paid homage to, you know, the old crew. And I just loved everything about it. We'll get into our favorite parts, but you know, I know you would text me before. You're like, hey man, so I'm popping off for my birthday, but like, what's a good level of drunk before I see this movie? And I was like, hey man, like, yeah, don't get shit faced. Like,
yeah,
you know, get a good buzz or whatever, but like, be mentally clear, because
right.
you this is a big deal, man.
Yeah. And so I appreciate you giving me that insight that I needed. That was very, very helpful, because, you know, it could have been disastrous. And I will say that I felt like I did exactly get the level of buzz that I needed to, you know, enjoy it and still be a little bit like chatty and like silly, I suppose.
Yeah.
And that's what I wanted. But I thought, Dave, I'm going to be a little bit negative just for a quick second. I thought it might have been the alcohol talking, because I felt like the ending was a little bit rushed. And I thought maybe I was just kind of, I wasn't with it. And then I went the second time to see it, and it actually was better the second time I saw
like
it.
Like the third act, pretty much. The
third act, yeah. Because I guess maybe I knew what I was looking for and what was getting ready to come and happen. And then knowing the payoff and everything that was going on with it, it made it a little bit better for me. But I still think that's the only weak part of the film, is the ending, if you ask me.
Yeah, I could see that. That's a fair criticism, I think. you know, there's just so many strong parts. Like the score is amazing. I've been listening to this score for the past like 2 days. It's absolutely amazing. The acting was phenomenal.
Let's just say also for kids, I mean, those are incredible children actors.
McKenna Grace was unreal. I cried multiple times, of course, and they all involved her. You know, she absolutely delivered. And, you know, I'm a little biased. I have two little girls. So the messaging around that, you know, just, you know, she was able to, she's this outcast, you know, you immediately, you know, your heartstrings go out to that. Just like, no kid should just be an outcast and picked on and whatnot. So like that immediately hooked me. And just so many things, like when her mom finally like believed her of what was going on, she's in the Ecto One, and you know, she comes back from being the dog, and she's like, Phoebe, you're, and she's right. Like, I'm yep. a scientist. I was like,
yeah, I love that.
Boom. Waterworks. Like that. I mean, just talking about it now, like I already have goosebumps. Like that totally got me. And it was all her delivery. You know what I mean? Like, sure, there's, you know, that's on the script, but is how she said it with conviction just fucking killed me. And I loved it, man. It's a great movie. I think a lot of people, and it sounds like a lot of people like it. I mean
96% on Rotten Tomatoes of people that obviously loved it and liked it. And that, to me, it's something that you can keep going back to see and still grab different things from it.
Sure.
I think you'll see that in the second viewing.
Yeah.
That there's things, oh, I didn't catch that. But it's a good story in and of itself. And this may be sacrilege, but I feel like the story could have been just as good if they didn't even include the originals in it. Because I felt like they kind of rushed their intro and ultimate exit. And that was my only like beef with the film. But the story was solid enough to where I loved, you know, what the kids were doing, exploring grandpa's house, you know, the mom coming to grips with, you know, being a failed mom and things like that, having to move and being bitter towards her father. You know, all that stuff was really, really good. And you can really do a lot with that storyline wise. And then, you know, Paul Rudd, as goofy as he was, wasn't like comically goofy, you know.
Yeah, he didn't take away
Ant-Man character, right? He wasn't playing his Ant-Man character. He's just playing, you know, the normal high school substitute teacher type of thing, that has a little bit of science knowledge, and, you know, but also, you know, is looking to settle down and find a mate and things like that, which I thought was cool. I want to jump towards the end if we can, just because I think finally I wish they would have put the final end credit scene as part of the movie, because I think so many people missed it. They didn't even know it was there. And I think that's a disservice to the Winston character. But I'm so glad it was there, but I just wish it was actually part of the movie.
I mean, it's going to turn into something. So, you know, the people that want to see it are going to see it, you know, like, sure. Like we rented the theater out. We had 30-ish of like my family and friends and whatnot see it. And like my parents saw it. They're not going to see the ending credits. You know what I mean? They left and they don't really care. Like my mom was like, yeah, that movie was incredible. But, and then I was like, yeah, do you remember, you know, on GB2? And they're like, I don't know if I saw Ghostbusters 2, you know? So it's like, there's going to be people that just don't really care. But, you know, speaking of that, what would you like to see out of that turn into a movie? Or like, I was immediately thinking like, let's take a Mandalorian kind of footprint here. Let's do some small screen, big screen stuff, because that story of like, you know, him now investing, you know, financially, you know, got the firehouse back and whatnot, like that just screams miniseries to me.
Yeah, I think it does. And you can take it a multitude of different ways. I mean, you can have the kids continue to grow up and, you know, continue to explore. I mean, because no doubt there's obviously Gozer relics all across the town, and, you know, they can continue to look that, and you know, they grow up and, I don't know, grow with the technology. Or, you know, one of the things I thought, you know, because people say the theme song is a character in itself. And I love, like, you know, after the movie's over and, you know, the the stars or all this stuff goes up and it says for Harold, which is fantastic. But then when you just see the New York skyline and then you hear the Ecto-1, it's as if it's coming back home to kind of establish everything.
Yeah.
And then the drum beat hits and you hear the Ghostbusters song, to where it's like, all right, that franchise is back essentially. So it could be like a mini series, you know, from in Somerville, as well as, you know, a spinoff with the real Ghostbusters, with, you know, kind of like what the way they should have done Star Wars, kind of like introducing this new cast with Luke/Winston, you know, footing the bill for everybody and nurturing and teaching. And, you know, they didn't have, all you needed was Winston in there saying, hey, I've done well for myself. I'm financing Ray's bookshop. He doesn't know it, but he's going to turn a profit one day. But you know what? I will always be a Ghostbuster. That's what he said. I'll always be a Ghostbuster. And let him be the person that you're like, all right, I'm financing this thing, got the firehouse back, don't disappoint me. And he just makes, you know, appearances from time to time. And that's all you need, but you can tell the story. And I think that, I think you can go a multitude of ways. I would love to see, probably just because of right now, I feel like the streaming TV series are where a lot of the money making is right now. A lot of people like that. I would love, you know, good, solid storytelling, 30, 40 minute episodes, 540 minute episodes or something like that. I think that'd be a really good thing.
And I think so, man. That 30, 45 minute mark would just be pretty sweet with that. I mean, I get more out of that than, like, I'm so thankful that the Mandalorian and Book of Boba Fett, I'm assuming it's going to be just as great as I think, or both of us think it's going to be. You know, I'm grateful that it's, what we get, how many episodes Book of Boba Fett? Is it six or eight?
Seven. I think they said there's seven.
Yeah. Would you rather that or a 2-hour movie? You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, and that's more content. I'm coming out on this is that, you know, we've been, you and I've grown up with, you know, the 2.5-3 hour movie at most, you know, trying to get as much story as you can in there, but you can tell better stories over the course of, you know, 8-hour long episodes or so. I think, you know, you saw how much story they packed into Mandalorian season 2. Yep. Imagine doing that with, you know, 8 episodes of the real Ghostbusters with, you know, and you can go back and forth kind of just like they did at Mandalorian. You can have like episodes where it shows the kids, and then you can, you know, have your own bottle episodes where it shows the old people doing something. And then it all ties together with like the big culmination of the last episode.
Yeah.
So I think that they're definitely, I'm sure, thinking through that, what their next steps are going to be. But I think it's great to say, and we all know, that Ghostbusters is back. And I definitely feel that they really, no pun intended, resurrected that franchise. And it's exactly the way it should be. And the love and outpouring that people are giving it is what's really encouraging to me.
Yeah, it's I echo that, man. It's definitely back. And another, you know, moment of it being back, you know, when, you know, the Ecto-1's chasing Muncher, and, you know, I'm sure this is all, you know, Jason Reitman, but, you know, the dirty ass Ecto-1 flies by the fire hydrant and it cleans the side of the Ecto-1.
Oh,
and,
I love
you
that.
Know,
yeah,
it was just like, you know, that to me, I was like, it's what a moment, you know what I mean? Like it's back. Filth. Yeah. It's like, we're back, baby. You know? So, I totally agree. Ghostbusters is just buzzing right now. And obviously to that point, transition right into, you know, the HasLab. You know, if you had said, hey, look, we're going to do 3 HasLabs at one time, G.I. Joe, Ghostbusters, and Star Wars. And, you know, I told you, hey, out of those 3, only one of them is going to be successful. Prediction here. Would you have predicted Ghostbusters would be that one out of those 3?
Not knowing what the item was going to be, because I think you and I had talked about what it was going to actually be. Are we talking figures, playsets, things like that? No one knew or saw that it was going to be
role-playing
replica, you know, of the proton pack.
Sure.
No one would have foresaw that.
You would immediately thought, plasma series, and you're like, yeah, well, what are they going to do? A Stay Puft plasma series, you know?
I mean, I'd be all for that. I'd love a big Stay Puft. That'd be cool.
I mean, yeah, that would have to be, you know, you obviously couldn't do it in scale, like nothing, you know, like a proper in scale.
No. But kind of what you had said is that no one would have expected, not just to have it backed, but how quickly it was backed and how many tiers have been, you know, subsequently
already unlocked.
Yeah. And it's not, and we'll talk about this, you know, once we get into the not so great HasLab, but all these tiers are worthwhile. You know, you get the connector hose, you know, for the wand, for those people that need to get the wand as well. You get some really cool little mini puffs.
Yeah,
you know,
that's rad.
I mean, those are cool. Those are some great, great tiers. And so I'm excited to see, you know, what they're doing. And I hope that this is telling them that, hey, there is money to be made with Ghostbusters, because think about it. I mean, everyone wants to, I mean, it's a simple costume. You put on a really cool backpack and you wear a flight suit and you're done. That's it.
Yep. I just really hope we get that fourth tier. I mean, out of all the tiers, yeah, obviously wanted the hose, you know, part of that tier one. Like you said, the mini puffs, very cool. Tier three that we're approaching, probably the weakest in my opinion out of all four of the tiers, you know, the Spangler's notes and some stickers and stuff like that.
Yeah. Aren't the stickers like to like modify it for like different, like to make it like a retro pack or a modern pack or something?
I believe so. Yeah. And then the fourth one is, you know, the mount and that mount. Well, it's not really a mount. Sorry.
Like a little guitar stand.
Yeah. It looks cool. Like I hope it's like kind of, it's not just like some like cheap 3D printed, you know what I mean? Like, I hope it's like a sturdy thing, but
I mean, you think it would have to be, cause that's, I mean, the pack's not small.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm like, the way I'm envisioning it is, you know, in whatever summer 2023, you know, when we get this thing, like I'd like to put it on the wall, but you know, kind of like it, like you said, a guitar, you know, in the corner, that would look cool too, man. But that's I mean, they're killing the tiers, you know, and then poor Rancor is going backwards.
Yeah, can we talk about that? Because it's been 2 weeks since you and I rapped about this, and I don't even know where to begin. I mean, I told you originally I was not going to back this thing unless it was, you know, seamless body or bust. I told
you. Yeah, I love that. That should be a tag. Like, that should be a tagline.
Yeah, seamless or bust. And so I'm like, okay, let's see what it has. And so we get the thing, and it's the lame, you know, CAD renders of the gray. It's not even the real figure. It's like, okay, we got to put something out here. And we're like, okay, we'll see what it is. I wasn't impressed with the scale. I wasn't impressed with even the tooling on it. It looks very cheap in my opinion. And we're like, okay, let's wait. And so then we get our tiers. And I think this is before we took our break last week. We knew they were getting the Gamorrean Guard on the retro Power of the Force coin.
Yep.
And I think that was a slap in the face. I thought that was terrible. You thought it was cool because, you know, the coin.
I was okay with it. Yep.
I wasn't. Maybe I was just too sour on the whole thing. And I was just bitter beer man the entire time. But we're like, okay, they're apparently going to be doing a nice fan event this Friday. They're going to show the real tiers. And we're like, okay, cool. Let's see what happens next. And so then they give us some plastic bones and a cardboard cutout. And they're like, okay, this is not good. And that's when they started losing backers. And they're like, okay, now we're going to bust out the big guns. And Dave, would you like to tell us in our lovely studio audience what those big final three tier or final two tiers are? And please, if you have it ready, let us know what the backing numbers are to get those two amazing tiers.
Yeah, I mean, well, those backing numbers are absolutely ridiculous. But
it's like 12,000 to get the final tier.
It's just all around a shit show. But yeah, the final two, we're fortunate enough to get Salacious Crumb, which is a direct figure from the Creature 4 or 5 pack that the Disney store.
Like 3 weeks ago.
Yep, that the Disney store is doing, and then a Luke, which is, but you know, they pitched it like, oh well, it's an all new complete Luke. Well, tell you what, we're getting that no matter what. That'll be in a Mandalorian branded packaging, so that's coming regardless. So of all hell breaks loose. I was immediately taken. I got off the plane and I was immediately taking screenshots of where the numbers were. And I was trying to like, okay, I want to see how many people, you know, canceled their orders. And it's kind of tough to tell because you can't really tell how many new backers, but they basically are negative-ish 300 backers from the start of that panel. So they've gone completely backwards. What's his name? Jake Stevens. He runs Forlom Tazakis. A wonderful guy. Great website that he does. And he does these really awesome like charts and stuff like that. Like kind of if you're a data guy, he's your guy. He makes really cool like statistical graphs and charts and whatnot. And he had a little, you know, fun fact. When the sail barge was on 30 days, it had, give or take a couple hundred, but basically the same amount of backers as the Rancor did at the 30-day mark. Sure, there's tons of factors and variables that make these different campaigns. And just because, you know, oh, well, it's at the same, you know, that 50-ish percent filled marker, well, the sail barge pass of this will too. No, it's not. But it's still interesting. You know, the sail barge was the first, you know, it was a little more money, but this is going backwards. I don't think any HasLab has gone backwards before like this.
No. And it's, I feel to me, it's like gross incompetence. And like, I would be embarrassed to be like a part of that and saying, I mean, cause you and I both have jobs. And if we literally were supposed to put something out for work and we regressed and lost, you know,
yeah,
numbers that we were, I mean, what do you do for that? You have to be accountable for that. And that no one has said anything about that. Like if it's almost like if I would almost have a hats off to them. If they's like, look, we messed up, we overcalculated, and we still know that there's some people that are passionate about this project. We're going to drop it down, you know, to 2,500 backers that are all the,
yeah,
at least own your mistake, but doubling down to make it an unrealistic number to achieve the stretch goals. And when you saw the Rancor eventually released, or I'm sorry, revealed, did you in your wildest minds ever think you wouldn't get, you know, a Rancor keeper or at least a unique figure by any means?
So I'm blown away that we're not getting Malachi or however you pronounce his name. I'm just stunned that we're not getting the keeper.
I mean, that's like getting like, Ash Ketchum without Pikachu. You know what I'm saying? They go together.
They absolutely go together. That's mind boggling to me. Sure, there could be a bunch of like licensing bullshit. Like, oh, well, Lucasfilm/Disney, you know, this is what they want. So Hasbro, you got to do what we want. But I still don't see, I see them maybe doing that with Ula. Sure, that might be a little too racy. So it's like, whatever, I get that. What's wrong with Maliki then? Is it because he got a beer belly? You know what I mean? Like what?
Is
like
it
what?
Because he's shirtless? If anything, we should be empowering these dads.
Yeah, let's go.
Crush the beers,
and, dad. You know, dad bod.
This is who we should be representing. Yeah, but it blows my mind, man. That you know, this is continually taking steps back, and I have not seen one person. And I follow a bunch of accounts and I follow a bunch of Reddit threads. I've not seen one person that says, I can't wait for this to hinder production. Not one person. And there is no hype for it at all.
It's sad, man. I want people to have this. Hell, fuck, I want this. Like, yeah, I would still love to get a Rancor. I mean, who the
but
fuck?
But here's the thing. I think where people are getting the disconnect is that if you were to say, okay, do you want a 6-scale Rancor for your collection? Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to pay $350? Yeah. No. Right. Well, okay. Well, maybe if you give me some extra things, I can account for the cost.
Right.
But 3 repackaged figures and some plastic bones does not equate to $350.
Yeah. And I think you nailed it right there. That's when it comes down to brass taxes. It comes down to that, you know. It sucks. I'm assuming, you know, unless like, and that's the thing that all these people are talking about. Oh, well, like the international orders aren't in those numbers yet, and yada yada yada. So just like any other Kickstarter, there's gonna be a ramp up towards the end of this. Is there gonna be, you know, 50 or 45% of it is going to get fulfilled in whatever 7 days. I don't know, man. It's a tall order.
It shouldn't come to this. I mean, you look at the people, how excited they are. They're like, oh, sweet, man, only 500 more and we get the next tier to the Proton pack. Oh, come on, guys. You know, we're only 1,000 more to the next tier.
No one's doing
anybody saying that.
Yeah.
And no, if anything, they're losing backers. That's what's insane to me.
Yeah, no one's doing that. And I honestly, just because, you know, I'm kind of capitalist and whatnot, like I hope it fails. So, you know, Hasbro can finally, you know, do what their tagline says, you know, for the fans. They listen to the fans, and they actually listen to the fans via us not backing this campaign. And some stuff, kind of some changes happen. You know, but I don't want to just like shit on the Star Wars team. Like I think what,
yeah, there's been some good stuff too.
Yeah. What we're saying and what everyone else is saying is, you know, there's a lot of constructive stuff that can come out of this. Like, but let me ask you this. So if you remember the Unicron, they extended that.
Isn't that the new variant we need to worry about?
Oh boy. So they extended that, right? Or am I crazy?
I don't remember that one, but I just remember that it achieved its tiers and people that wanted it got it. That's all I know.
I wish we were alive, because you know, Mighty Mouse or someone like that could keep us honest here. But I felt like there was one. I thought it was a Unicron where they extended the deadline, and you know, do we think that they could extend the deadline on the Rancor? Do you think that's a possibility? I don't know.
I don't. I was looking here at, I was trying to see if I could Google it quickly, and the only thing I can find is, you know, how much was the HasLab, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So this is not the first Unicron, Hasbro's crowdfunding platform. Okay. It started back in 2019 at a bit of a rough start to the hefty price tag of $570. At least unboxing the chaos, but yeah, I don't know. I'm not gonna sit here and just read
about it. Yeah, they extended it. Yeah.
Okay.
It was a Unicron. They extended it. I don't know if it's a week. The project from 8/31 to 10/6. So, yeah, I mean they extended it. So there is a precedent of them, you know, hey, here's the window, but you know, we could extend it. So that'll be interesting to see if they decide to do that, because I think they're gonna need it. They're gonna need to extend it. Otherwise, this thing's probably not gonna get funded, unless there's just like a lot of people in Germany and the UK are just fucking crazy about spending a lot of money on the Rancor and those tiers. But
yeah, and I think the only way that happens is if there's noticeable progression.
Yeah.
If it stays stagnant or, you know, continues to regress, you know, that's I'll be checking out Toy Farce and Chaz to see whether or not, you know, what those numbers are officially are, because I mean, they've been right on top of whether or not things are, you know, moving forward or not. And as I've said all the time, and I appreciate the love that, you know, they give us, if you're not following Toy Farce or Chaz the Guru, some of the best toy memes out there, and they've just been on fire, you know, with any of the
HasLab yeah.
type stuff. So just want to give them a little plug there. Appreciate you guys. But yeah, man, I'm really interested to see if they would. They're not, unless they want to come back and say, "Hey, seamless body on me," then I might consider it. But yeah, that I really think this is going to go the way the Cookie Monster, man, and that's how the cookie crumbles.
What an ending to that!
Hell yeah!
That
hell
topic, yeah, man, I love it. All right, well let's move on and cover the G.I. Joe one real quick. Just quick, is this going to go, or going with the Cookie Monster?
No one's talking about it. I think if I don't, is it all around the same time is when they're all ending?
They're all like within a couple of days. I think the Ghostbuster one is the first one to end. Actually, no, I think the Rancor ends the first. I think that ends in like 7 days. Like, I think that ends next week, and then the Ghostbusters, and then Sky Striker, the G.I. Joe one.
Yeah, and so I think with all this being said, I know you talk about, you know, you're a capitalist and all that stuff, but with capitalism and consumerism, you know, it is the holidays, and there's going to be some yeah. people, you know, sign up for things around the holidays. Like, oh, I don't know what to get my brat uncle or my brat nephew. I guess I'll just sign him up for this nice thing. He doesn't have everything. This was cool. And maybe that'll happen. But also the double side of that sword is that there's a lot of HasLabs going on at one time.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to pick and choose, and it looks like a majority of people, because let's be honest, you know, the collector pool is kind of all the same people. You know, there's
yep.
you know, obviously a Venn diagram where you bleed over if you like Transformers and Star Wars, and then you're Star Wars and Marvel, sure. you know, whatever it may be. But essentially, it's all the same amount of people and the same audience. There's the diehards on each side, obviously. But if it comes down to it, I think the people have spoken. When it comes down to your holiday trap or your holiday money, your holiday pick for the year, or maybe it's just the, hey, this is the one big purchase I'm going to make. The people have spoken and they put it on the Proton Pack. And so do they want to put it on the Rancor? Obviously not. Or do you want to put it on the G.I. Joe? That one I think is to be seen. I'm interested yeah. to see once the polls close for the other ones, if they start re-emphasizing, hey, let's get this up here. But it's been really quiet. I've not seen hardly anything on it.
Yeah, it's been quiet too. I know they just had another kind of fan event. I really hope it does. It makes its way. I'm almost thinking too, like, I know this kind of contradicts what's going on with Star Wars, but you know, I kind of feel like 6 inches is key with you know, collectors, like, you know, and I know that's blasphemy saying that with G.I. Joe, because it's 3 3/4 King with G.I. Joe, but with the adult collector now, you know, you're wanting to get kind of new, you know, like you said, like, maybe someone that just collects Marvel Legends, but now they're all in unclassified, but they never really fucked with the original G.I. Joe. Maybe they did, but they certainly didn't collect it, you know? So those guys are the ones that are going to be willing to spend, you know, $20 on the classified figure. And they might not be going after the Walmart, or now the soon to be O-ring, style Joe. So, you know, would it have been more successful if it was some sort of classified 6-inch HasLab? I certainly would have liked that. But then again, here's the Black Series, you know, and it's
yeah,
probably not going to.
I have the numbers in front of me. Is the G.I. Joe Sky Striker ends in 7 days, a little over 7 days, 7 days and 4 hours as of this recording. It is 60% of the way there. It's got
okay.
6,000 of the 10,000 to reach it. And the thing that's going to help it is that it's only $230. And
I could see that pushing then. I could see that going through.
I think that's fair for a 6-inch extremely detailed jet. I mean,
it's not 6-inch. Yeah. It's the 3 3/4.
Oh, it is the 3 3/4. Yeah. Okay. I think that makes sense then. And that's a normal price. I say normal, but that is not
in today's world. It's normal.
You know,
yeah.
Yeah. In today's world. So I think that is an option. You know, we have 7 days, 4,000. Yeah. We'll see on that one for sure.
Yeah. Well, it's exciting stuff. You know, to that point, episode 63, which will be airing, when are we doing that?
December the 14th.
Yeah. The 14th. So we'll have all the results then. So, you know, come in for all the HasLab, you know, fallout on that. And
so Dave, you're a betting man like me. Okay. So what would you put the odds of these? We know the Proton Pack's already funded. What is the odds the Rancor is funded, and what are the odds the Skystriker is funded?
Well, I'm not really a betting guy, so I can't speak on the I know over under, but I don't know.
You're
what
not gonna
like
follow the money line.
Yeah, I you know, if you tell me, oh, it's you know, negative 600 and that's plus 200, I would need a calculator for all that shit. But yeah, I'm just gonna say the Ghostbusters tier 4, all tiers. We're going hard. I mean, we are peaking right now. You got Afterlife, you know, so I really think that we can do all the tiers for the Ghostbusters. I think the Rancor is going to fall short. Just not funded. Not even the first tier, nothing. So a fail on that. And I bet the G.I. Joe, I bet we get all the way to the second tier.
Okay, that's fair. I was going to say the first tier is what I was looking at. I think 16,000 is a little high.
Sure.
But I mean, that little Night Force guy is looking pretty cool though, with his like little sub
yeah.
stuff. That looks pretty sweet. But okay, so you're tier 2. I'm tier 1 of the G.I. Joe HasLab, and I agree with you. The Rancor will not be funded.
Yeah, so we're all the same. I just got tier two on the Joe. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so we can't wait. So make sure to check us out to see the official results on December the 14th.
And also on that episode, that's going to be our big figure of the year episode.
It will. And I can tell you the Rancor is not going to be on there.
Oh, my God. I mean, dude, these are the episodes that I look forward to the most. So, you know, Kevin, you're going to bring, you know, your top 10 figures of the year. I'm going to have my top 10 figures of the year. We're also going to review I don't even have like a fancy tagline for this, but basically at the beginning of 2021, we said, here's our predictions.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And to be fair, we could have just cheated and been like, oh yeah, well, like this isn't like, we could have just done obvious picks. We did some deep cuts, some kind of bold predictions. Bold predictions. So we'll kind of go review, see how we did for 2020, and then we'll be doing the same towards the beginning of the year. So big show on 12/14. Okay, well let's talk about this Spider-Man tour they did.
It's a little touring exhibit. Isn't that sweet? That's cute. I have to ask you, Dave, have you gotten your tickets for Spider-Man No Way Home? Because apparently the world is melting down because they couldn't get their tickets. And they're like, oh, my God. And they run to eBay and they're like $10,000 for a ticket see Spider-Man. But
blows my mind.
I can go ahead and I can open up my Fandango to find any showing I want down the street. Where are these people not able to find these? And where I'm so confused right now.
I'm with you, man. I'm very confused. Like I was seeing that all day. Was that just yesterday? Yeah. Like people going fucking crazy trying to get these tickets. And I'm like, I'm good. Like I have no issues. I'll still be able to see it opening weekend. I'll be able to get a ticket. Like, so I don't understand either why, is it just like maybe a major market or are they trying to do I'm sure there's a midnight showing, like, but I don't need to do if they did anything like Ghostbusters, I don't need to do that Wednesday night kind of deal. So
yeah, I'm here right now on my Fandango app. And if I wanted to go see in my local theater, there is a 3 p.m., 4 p.m., 5:05. Yeah. There's unlimited seats. If I wanted to go to IMAX, let me just check the three o'clock showing. One ticket here. Let me just see what they're looking. There's only one seat that is unavailable. That is unavailable.
So yeah,
and that's for the first showing. So where
are and that's doing? IMAX. So that's four or five hundred people.
They've changed some of the seatings around on. So
I think your mic popped out there.
There you go.
My
bad. Yeah, I think they've changed some of the scenes around. That's one of the things I was disappointed in. When I walked in for Ghostbusters, I was expecting it to be like this massive, stadiums type theater. Sure. But they moved them all around for like the recliner seats, to where there's less people in there.
Yeah.
And I'll also say I've been really in the movies. Then we'll talk back about Spider-Man again in a second here. But I've been really into the movies recently going. And my buddy went with me on Saturday. He said, hey, you want to go to the movies? I'm like, sure. He's like, what do you want to go see? I'm like, I don't care. He's like, you want to go see House of Gucci? Which, by the way, is really good.
Is that the official rec of the week from you? Or
yes, we'll get to that. I'll give my rec of the week once I get there. But we got to talking. I was like, hey man, what do you prefer? Do you prefer the movie experience where people are cheering and hooping and hollering, with each scene? Or do you like to watch it comfortably with like not many people around you, just kind of, the warm blanket type of feel? What is your ideal movie going experience? Do you want to be hype or do you want to be comfortable?
That's a great question. I think it just depends, right? Like that was kind of one regret I had of doing it for the first viewing for Ghostbusters Afterlife. We basically hosted, the theater. So I was constantly running around, getting, I couldn't just sit back and really be lost in it. Saw it with all three of my kids, which is, I'm glad that happened. My son's obsessed with Ghost, absolutely obsessed with Ghostbusters. My girls love Ghostbusters. So that was really special. And I'm glad that happened. With that being said, we let them, hey, we have the whole theater. You guys can sit in the front row. You don't have to sit with mom and dad. So that was like very cool to them. Like, dude, they're going to fucking have this like memory. Like it was a big deal to them.
That's cool.
But I was constantly running up and down, checking on them. Cause dude, there's some fucking scary parts. Like my twins are five, you know what I mean? So it, I think I got some very, you know, eyebrows looks from, you know, my sister and stuff like that. Like who, you know, her kids are a lot older and she was probably like, oh, like I never, you know, would have had my kids see that at five, right, but right. I'm like, okay, well, you know, do things a little different in the Shaw household. You know what I mean? But the one part when the mom got possessed by the dog, like, and she's like shaking on the chair. I'm like, it's going to freak my kids out.
Possessions always scare the crap out of me.
Yeah. So I go down there and I'm like, you know, I go down there to Connor. I'm like, hey, are you okay? And he just looks up at me and he's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, you're fine. But like, I had to
leave me alone. Dad.
Yeah. He was like, what the fuck do you want? Yeah, I'm totally fine. Like I've seen Predator, dude, back off. You know, like
right.
He totally gave me the business, but like, I had to keep doing that. So that was a bummer, but it was a good trade-off because I got to see it with the kids. But to answer your question, I think it just depends. Like, you know, for a big franchise movies, I'm okay with seeing people high-fiving, you like Star Wars. Like I like it. I like going opening night, seeing Star Wars. You see the green Lucasfilm, people start clapping. Like I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that.
I'm gonna kind of stay in the same ballpark with you. Is that I do get high because I watch like people's reactions on YouTube. That's how like lame I am, I guess. And so I went and, you know, immediately Googled, you know, people's reactions to the end of Ghostbusters, things like that, just to watch it. But kind of, you know, I will never forget where I was, you know, when you finally hear Cap say Avengers Assemble during Endgame.
And totally. Yep.
Yeah. And so, I mean, that was really cool. And getting back on course, you know, we're going to see something like that in Spider-Man, no doubt.
Yeah.
And people are going to lose their shit over it. And so I will be able to go get tickets. I'm so sorry that the people that apparently decided to, you know, trust spiderman.com to go get them. I was like, just use your Fandango app, damn it. Come on. You don't have to go and, you know, get your special Spider-Man plushie or something, whatever that is. But we do have to talk about plastic for a second. There is a really cool, you know, Spider-Man Hot Toys touring exhibit overseas there. And there's some really lovely cos babies if you're into those. I'm not for sure if you've seen those.
Yeah.
But the big, I guess, takeaway is that they're really pumping out a lot of quarter scale figures, which people are like, is this something I want to do? And Dave, I'm going to be honest with you, my man, is that I've had a little bit of
scary.
You know, I've been thinking of, you know, my displays, my options, and you and I've been talking about like life-size busts.
Oh boy.
And like things to add in there. And so I was like, let's see. I almost went and got a quarter scale figure, you know, this past week. I was actually thinking of wanting to get, you know, the quarter scale Darth Vader because Replay Toys had that. And I was like, that'd be a cool one to have, you know, whatever.
Sure.
But then I never pulled the trigger, but then something happened. And we kind of skipped over our pickups, but I ended up getting, you know, the Jazz Inc. Vulture, you know, the 1/6, you know, Iron Scavenger.
Yep.
And I put it on my story last night. I can't do quarter scale, man. I can barely do this thing. Is that real estate in your collection room is something you really have to take into consideration because, this is a 4-foot wingspan on this thing. I mean, it literally can only sit at the top. And I'm like, what am I doing? And so all that to be said is that there's a big market they're trying to push for these quarter scale figures.
Yeah.
There's that black suit Spider-Man, like the black and gold, like reverse suit. There is the movie promo edition quarter version with his like little box and all that. And then they're even teasing like a quarter scale Doctor Strange. And so those figures are just too big for me. I know you've talked about, you know, this quarter scale Fett and stuff like that, but are you still in on quarter scale figures? And what would it take for you to say, okay, I need this quarter scale figure in my life?
Yeah, I mean, well, before I answer that, I'll be devil's advocate for you. You could make quarter scale work. The only thing is you'd have to drop your detofs off of your calyxes. So I'm saying it could be done. but yeah, man, I'm also limited. I'm I don't have my DTOFs on Calyx like you specifically for that reason, just to be able to handle my my quarter scales. You know, I got the Boba Fett ESB, the premium format. He takes up one of the DTOFs on top. I have that Iron Studios Daredevil takes up one. And then I'm going to have two more that are,
so they're top mount pieces, essentially.
They're top mount. And yeah. I'm basically saving for whenever they do a Moon Knight. I know that there is a couple Moon Knight quarter scale or larger scales out there, but they're too expensive. I'm not going down that road. I'm waiting until the show's going and the, you know, ultimately I'm sure there'll be one. That's it, man. So I'm basically four. I'll have four. That's all I can do as well. So I'm kind of same boat. I can at least have four though, but then that's it.
Yeah. And to me, like, cause I'm really into the clean aesthetic. You and I've talked about, we actually just need to do a whole show about, you know, the toy room eventually and our thoughts behind that. And that'll be a one-off.
You do a tour and me just asking you questions and then I do a tour ask me. Yeah.
Because that'd be a cool Instagram live. That'd be a fun one. We should do that.
Yeah. Well, when mine's done, which I'm almost there. I'm almost there. I got the TV up. I got the
shout out wallpaper, man.
Yeah. Shout out producer Matt coming through with the, what are we calling, the crunk Skeletor? I don't know. I want to give him a name. Yeah. He's popping off. But yeah, we should do that. We'll do that.
That'll be really cool. But all that to say is, you know, I like my clean aesthetic. And yep. The whole other reason I have the Calyxes is to hide all the wires underneath.
Yeah.
And so that's another big caveat for me. But I'm just looking around, man. I'm like, I don't know. As cool and as much detail as you can put into a quarter scale figure and a premium statue and all that, I just don't got the real estate, man.
Yeah.
I just don't have the real estate.
Yeah. I get it, man. And with your room too, like having the DTOFs up and a little more eye level, especially in that bottom shelf, getting a little more love. I mean, that's where it's at. You have so many DTOFs, so it's a better trade-off to raise them. And if you got to lose, you know, the ability to house some quarter scales, then so
because I don't want it to be like when people walk in, they're like, oh, what are the ones on the bottom? Oh, those are the ones I don't really like, you know. And that's the reason I know we've talked about that. You know, the ones I love, the ones I like, the ones I'm kind of okay with, and the ones I wish I didn't have, and you know, those are the ones you put at the bottom.
So just General Grievous is going on the bottom. What's the other one that you're like, I can't stand?
General Grievous, the video game Iron Spider.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I have to look around. There's a few other ones that make me roll my eyes. Like, what the fuck was I thinking?
I wanted to talk about those artist mix Spideys that they did. I only saw, I think there was only three that I saw. I like the, there was like kind of a, almost like a World War II cap.
He's like a window washer type of guy. Is that the one you're talking about?
Oh, with the overalls?
Yeah.
That one was sick. Yeah. You had the overalls and the Scally cap. That was super streetwear vibe, kind of, you know, spicy boy, Spider-Man. But the bike one with the bomber jacket, you know, I got the cat World War II vibes there. And then what was the other one? Was a guitar kind of one,
like a DJ thing, like a, it's like a black, red and yellow. Really cool colors.
I have they ever done anything like that before? Because that was incredible. I love that.
Yeah, I don't think any of those will be like released. I think those are just art pieces that people made. In six scale format. And I would love if they were to do like an artist series edition or something like that, where they're like a limited run of 10.
Yeah,
you know, something like that. That'd be interesting to look at. But I love people's creativity when it comes to expressing themselves. And I mean, we see the way that people have taken off with Spider-Man No Way Home and all that. Spider-Man is one of, if not the most popular franchises out there. I mean, I actually saw like one of those little little charts that showed like as the years go by, like which figure or not which figure, but which character, you know, always took the spot. And Batman and Spider-Man have always gone back and forth as being the most popular superheroes in the world. And yep. So that it's very interesting that a little Peter Parker is taking this top spot from the Dark Knight, but he's hot right now, and being able to see people's artistic vision put into that is pretty cool, man. I love what they're doing there.
It's awesome, man. It kind of reminded me of that Chicago celebration at the Rancho Obi-Wan booth. He had about 30 stormtrooper, just classic stormy helmets, and there's at one point, you know, different artists, and they just did whatever they wanted to these helmets, whether it was like adding antlers or just painting or like adding other things to the helmet. How cool would something like that be if they did that with just a classic stormtrooper, and there was an artist series of a Hot Toys stormtrooper, but like go wild, like, you know, give them to, you know, hand out 30 of them to artists, and that could be an exhibit. Or Darth Vader.
They've done that, you know? Like porcelain stormtrooper, you know, before, but imagine kind of like an Art Deco version of one, you know, with those crazy colors. And you and I have been to the cons, the people that do those like custom, like graffiti looking, you know, helmets and things, man. Yeah. Put that onto a 6-scale figure. That would be super cool.
I mean, basically, what's his Gabriel Junk? He makes like the Louis Vuitton fucking, you know, a stormtrooper mask, or, you know, he takes like high end designer stuff, and then he'll make like a Game Boy out of it. You know what I mean? I love kind of collabing like that.
More creative than I am.
Yeah, man. All right. Well, let's get into pickups. I don't have anything. I have like random shit, but nothing toy related. I didn't buy anything toys.
The only thing I had, as I told you, I had, you know, Marty McFly was coming in. I was able to grab him. That short trooper came
looks
in.
Great.
When I went to toy department, I was able to get this third party Wolverine because I really wanted a Logan. You know, Logan's probably my favorite Marvel film. Even though it's not technically MCU.
Right.
But Logan's fantastic. The perfect send off to Hugh Jackman. Yep. Rated R. Fantastic. All that. So it was like the deluxe version of that. So I got that, and really cool. I put that on my Instagram. You can guys check that out if you haven't done it. But then the Iron Scavenger came in yesterday. Yeah. And that's one that, you know, I'd paid off for a while. It is Jazz Inc's first foray into the 1/6 figure world. And the Vulture, if you want to call it that, from Spider-Man Homecoming, is it the name? Yeah, Homecoming, was teased by Hot Toys, you know, way back in the day.
Right.
But it was never something that was going to go to production.
Yeah.
And I can see why, because it's huge. It is absolutely huge. And and someone's like, what do you think of it? What do you think of it? I was like, the wings and the craftsmanship, 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
And that's because they're crafters. You know, they make the Falcon, the cockpit, all that stuff. So they're great at making those. But the only thing that is to be desired is the figure itself, I suppose.
Sure.
There's a little bit of QC issues around the fur or around like the head.
It's a lot of delicate stuff, stitching.
Yeah, property, and, right? And, you know, you're not having people, I mean, frankly, in sweatshops doing it. You know, it's just a father-son type of thing. But it's very impressive. I wish there was more mobility and, like, posability in it, but it's sure. You know, also it's got that like exoskeleton because it's a flight suit, you know, there's only so much you can do. So it's a little fragile for my taste, but I'm so happy to have it.
Yeah. Is it one of those things where it looks really good kind of, you know, 6 feet away, but you start getting close up, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you saw, like, I think you saw it on my story last night. I mean, it just commands. I mean, it sprawls over 4 DTOFs. It literally sprawls over 4 DTOFs. That's how big it is. Just the wings are so it's that impressive. And so you can say, wow, that's really cool. But then when you have the figure in your hand, you're like, it's a little bit to be desired. But they're not a figure company. They're like a parts company that, like, makes some really cool, like, Batmobiles and things like that. So I see what they're going for. I'm really proud and happy to have this, because if you're having, you know, anything Spider-Man related, and if you're building, you know, your MCU shelf or pieces, I mean, you need him. That's the villain you're missing. Yeah. And it's cool. So overall, 10 out of 10 on the wings, probably a 6 out of 10 on the figure and giving it a nice 7.8 is my score.
Okay. Locked it in. 7.8.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get into Rex of the Week and then we'll call it, man. I'll kick it off. So my wreck of the week. So as I mentioned, you know, working on the toy room, we're getting there, everyone. We're getting there. So the TV's up. We got, you know, my kind of workstation backdrop up. The countertops have been measured. They're going to be coming in right before Christmas. When the countertops are up, then I'm off and running. It's just nothing but trim after that point. So very exciting. And so since the TV's up, you know, I got my new kind of command center Lazy Boy set up. I've finally been watching more movies and whatnot. And I
movies or VHS?
Both.
Okay.
Both. So I still got my little VHS set up. Actually was just watching Godzilla 98 with Connor. And my God, what a fucking dumpster of a movie. That movie is
the Matthew Broderick one.
Yeah. Okay. Ugh. Like there's so many cringe, like, you know, classic 90s, you know, tropes. But you know, it's fun. Connor was into it for sure. Yeah, so I'm watching movies, and I finally, there was like an Amazon deal. I bought like a box set of like 50 of the OG Hammer films. Now, are you familiar with Hammer films?
We're talking about Army Hammer?
No. So
apparently not.
Hammer Films was a production company that decided, hey, we're going to make horror movies. Like every year, they're going to produce X amount of horror movies every year. And these are some of the, you know, a lot of the films that Peter Cushing did. So have you seen anything other than Star Wars that starred Peter Cushing?
I mean, I saw the Draculas.
Okay. So yeah. They're Dracula. So I've never seen any of the he plays Victor Frankenstein. He plays
I didn't know that one. I thought the Dracula was the only one. I know, yeah. Christopher Lee was in the Draculas as well.
Yes. So these Peter Cushing's Victor Frankenstein, and I believe he's in 5 of them. And I've started watching. I've watched 3 of them so far. He's unreal. I mean, he's such a good actor, and it was just really fun to watch him in, you know, something other than Star Wars, you know, because he's such an iconic, you know, actor to like my childhood. Like, dude, you know, Grand Admiral, you know, Tarkin is just like, Grand Admiral Moff Tarkin is just like,
I mean, and that was a big get for Star Wars at the time to be able to pull him in, you know, same thing with Alec Guinness. You know,
yeah.
These were names that, you know, not much to us, but you know, back then those were the big names at that time.
They totally, both those guys added that gravitas that, you know, George wanted, you know, he wanted some sort of, you know, like just, I want to not just be like a cheap movie. I need to have some kind of experience. And those are the two guys. And I totally get it, but that's my recommendation. Go down, you know, some trip down memory lane and just watch some old Peter Cushing, you know, be playing Victor Frankenstein. It's, you know, they're colored, you know, so that's nice. So if you're a big guy, it's like, I get it. You know, I tried, you know, telling people to watch some of the older Universal monsters and they're like, oh, dude, I get it. It's like a big, you know, deal in horror, but like I can't watch anything that's black and white. I get that. So you're good here. But they're just great, man. Like when you think about like the set designs and just stuff like that went into these movies,
a lot of practical effects and all kinds of things. Yeah, man,
it's unreal. So that's my recommendation. Go watch some old Peter Cushing stuff, playing batshit crazy Victor Frankenstein. it's good, man. So what do you got, dude?
Well, I already teased it a little bit, but as I said, I went to the movies this weekend and we got to see House of Gucci, starring Lady Gaga, Adam Driver, Al Pacino, Salma Hayek, and Jared Leto, of all people. And I mean, a star-studded cast. And I was a little bit like, I don't know if I want to sit here and watch a drama. But man, it was very engaging. I'm promising you, it's probably going to win all the awards with actors and best picture and all that.
Yeah,
it's one of those artsy films enough to where, you know, it's
it'll get the nod because of that. Yep.
And so we actually philosophized afterwards over some pizza and beer. And I said, you know, here it is officially, is that I think we can stop considering Lady Gaga to be a singer. She's a full on actor now.
And yeah.
She's, you know, she was great in American Horror Story. She was great in A Star Is Born, but now she's a legit actor and she's sitting there, you know, with her Turkish accent or whatever, or Italian accent, whatever. But it was really good, man. And so, it went by really quickly, the fantastic, you know, set designs and places. And it's fun. It's a fun movie. And to see Jared Leto as a fat bald man in this one, doing a Italian accent, as Paolo Gucci was his character. And then, you know, to be able to see him, you know, in a couple months shredded as Morbius is going to be pretty impressive.
Dude, he, first of all, I'm happy to hear that because I have been wanting, I'm looking forward to watching that. Maybe I'll do that this week to do a little double dip, see Ghostbusters and see Gucci, double G. But dude, Jared Leto, man, he just knows how to pick a script and pick a character, dude. Like all this,
he becomes that character.
Yeah.
Everyone he's in, he always becomes that character, which is a shame of how dirty they did him in Justice League.
Yeah, exactly.
Or Suicide Squad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I knew what you meant, but he will win. I'm sure he'll win Best Supporting. You know, or at least get nominated. How's the score on that? I don't know who. Was there anyone like really big that was tied to that score wise? So
no, the thing that was the weakest thing about it.
Okay.
Is that it didn't have a lot of music. It was a lot of dialogue, obviously. And the only time music came in, it was like pieces from that time and that era. So it like play like radio-ish.
So not really like a score. Yeah.
Right. And that, unless I just completely missed it or it was that, you know, low, I didn't pick up on a score. Yeah. I really didn't.
Okay.
You know, it was kind of a period piece. And so there wasn't really anything to go with that. But there was a lot of dialogue. But the thing that sold me on it, which was perfect, is the trailer has Eurythmics' Sweet Dreams. Have you seen the trailer for it?
No.
I'll send it
to you. I've seen the trailer.
And it's that Sweet Dreams, you know, by the Eurythmics, and it's perfect. It's perfect for the film. I wish they would have done something more like that, to where they kind of used something kind of modern, but at the same time, you know, still classic at the same time. That's my only beef with the film.
Yeah, almost like a little Guardians of the Galaxy-ish, you know.
Yeah, and which can't be topped. And I'm already cannot wait for whatever Volume 3 playlist is going to be.
Yeah, with that and the holiday special thing is going to be a trip.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that too.
All right, dude. Well, let's wrap it up here and 12:14. 12:15. You guys will be hearing it, but that'll be our big end of the year show, episode 63. We'll get something on the Instagram there, but thanks again for
I'm just excited to see great whether year, or not man. These HasLabs are going to actually make it across
the finish. I can't wait.
That's what we're going to say. I can't wait. And I know some people think that this is just a shit on Hasbro. It's not. We give it, your praise where it's due. You know, we obviously, make sure to praise Ghostbusters and such and all when they do right. But, when someone doesn't make the right call, I think you need to call somebody out on that. So, we're paying customers. We should be able to speak into it.
Absolutely, man. All right. Well, dude, good shooting the shit with you, man, as always. And we will do this in 2 weeks, man. Take care, dude.
See ya.
All right.